Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Rasul Nafisi, who is an academic and Middle East expert. His latest book is The Rise of the Pasdaran, a monograph on the social, political, and economic roles of the Guardians of the Revolution in Iran. And his most recent book is The Cultures of the Middle East. He contributes to Jain's Islamic Digest and Jain's Intelligence Digest. Welcome to Background Briefing, Rasul Nafisi.
Hello, Ian.
So I know you had difficulty hearing our guest from Tehran, and I'm sure our audience did, and I'm sorry about the connection, but that was the only one we could get. It's very difficult to get through. We were trying for a while, and we weren't even sure we were going to get through. So were not able to decipher much of what Ali Arouzi had to say?
Unfortunately not, no. I could hear your questions quite well, but not his comments. I'm sorry.
Well, he seemed to think that there was a real change underway, that there's tremendous enthusiasm amongst the public, and that even though the new president is a centrist as opposed to a reformer, Hassan Rouhani has, of course, his victory was enabled by the backing of the former president, Khatami, and the former president, Rafsanjani. And he felt that there was a considerable influence coming from those quarters and that he would, even though he doesn't control the foreign policy portfolio, and indeed the supreme leader is the ultimate has the ultimate say in any case, he felt that he would still have a considerable amount of influence and leverage over the future direction of the country. So that's an overall description of what he was telling us.
Great.
So what's your response to that? Do you think
Actually, I think that Mr. Rouhani will have a say in foreign policy, especially considering the nuclear issues with the West, because of his very rich experience in the field. And the fact that both camps trust him, Ayatollah Khamenei certainly trusts him. He's his representative. He's a close ally, and they know each other very well. And so do the reformists. And this is the type of person that also can get along with the Western countries. He can speak their language, understand their culture. He's been with them before. He's got a track record with them. Actually, I think Rouhani will have a lot of say in terms of nuclear issues, and he will be on the side of negotiation, compromise, give and take, the opposite of Ahmadinejad and Jalili. So actually, I think he will have a lot of success in convincing Ayatollah Khamenei to change his style, especially if you look at this election. It was a vote on the hardliner versus the centrist, a vote on the people who advocated going all the way for the nuclear enrichment and so forth, against those people who said, look, like Rouhani, who said, well, this is good to have centrifuges, but it is good to have, you know, bread on the table too. So it was quite a vote against the nuclear policy of Jalili Khamenei. So I think Rouhani will have a mandate. The only thing is how he will be able to channel this mandate into a parlance of negotiation with Ayatollah Khamenei, and probably he can do that because they are both clerics. But he is very articulate. He knows laws, more than that, I think one thing that goes for Mr. Rouhani is that if you watch his videos that he made for the election, he really did not say anything about Ayatollah Khamenei or his support. He actually mentioned the names of Rafsanjani and Khatami many times. So he is really an independent in a way compared to other people in the group. Now, one thing about Rouhani that makes him, again, a powerful candidate for a successful negotiation with the Western countries is his book. He wrote a thick book on his experience in nuclear negotiation. And actually, I had the chance to take a look at the book, and he seems to be quite a reasonable, logical individual. And I invest a lot of hope in that department. But when it comes to domestic front, I'm not quite sure that it can do much because the economy is in shambles. The country is broke. And frankly, I don't think the United States Congress will get along to help him out. Because it is the predominant ideology today in the Congress is to bring Iran to its knees, and basically maybe they are not very happy either with the election of a centrist. They would have been much happier probably with the Ahmadinejad type. So what I am really worried about today is how the United States Congress will react to Rouhani than how the various factions in Iran will or will not cooperate with Rouhani.
Well, fortunately, the U.S. Congress doesn't completely control foreign policy, and the President Obama has some room to maneuver. Now, he did send an olive branch to Iran when he first came into office, and he was pretty much spurned by the Iranian side. I suppose that's not likely to happen with this new leadership. Surely, if indeed, as Ali Arousi was telling us a minute ago from Tehran, that when he was the nuclear negotiator, he suspended enrichment, which was the last time that happened, and that perhaps he's a lot more flexible. And even though the Ayatollah Khamenei has the ultimate say, the supreme leader, he feels that this new leader has quite a bit of support in the public. And the fact that he got more votes than all of the hardliners combined, maybe that is a message that the hardliners and the IRGC have to take notice of.
Absolutely. I understand that actually the ultimate arbitrator in the United States is the president. But what I'm saying is, looking at the number of sanctions on Iran that passed, like one after the other by the Congress, and also the structure of the Congress today, which is entirely anti-Iranian, and also the attitude of Netanyahu that was spelled out, and he basically didn't seem to care much about the election of a centrist and all that. If you combine these, you feel that the United States would not be quite receptive to a new moderate type of guy. This is my fear, frankly. I hope I'm wrong. Secondly, if you look at the role that IRGC and other people played in this election, it is quite interesting because they were shut up. They did not say anything, unlike in the previous election that they showed their clear support for Ahmadinejad. And the important thing is, actually, to my estimate, Rouhani is a much more effective leader compared to Charoubi or Mousavi, who are under house arrest, because of his connections, because of his tremendously rich and extended connections, and also his experience. So, in fact, he will be a more important rival to the type of IRGC people. And he actually he said that. He said, "Look, I'm not a military man. I'm a legalist. I'm a lawyer sort of." He basically emphasized the role of law against the rule of military type individuals and enforcing their will on the economy and everything else. So I was pretty surprised that IRGC was kind of quiet, and I'm sure that they were told to stay quiet because Ayatollah Khamenei does not want another uprising in Iran, and also understand the vehemence of the present situation. And also, as I said before, Rouhani is not really far from the office of the leader. So, to my estimate, Rouhani will be a powerful leader inside. Will have a lot of say on foreign policy, but a lot depends on the U.S. Congress. A lot depends on the first year of Rouhani and how much he can produce in terms of negotiations, in terms of getting the economy going, and so forth. So this first year is quite crucial, not only for Rouhani, but also for the reformist movement and those people who hope to be able to move this archaic system a little bit forward and make it a little bit more palatable to the taste of the young people, liberals, women, and intellectuals.
Again, I'm speaking with Rasul Nafisi, who's an academic and Middle East expert. His latest book is The Rise of Pasdaran, a monograph on the social, political, and economic roles of the Guardians of the Revolution in Iran. And his most recent book is The Cultures of the Middle East. He contributes to Jain's Islamic Digest and Jain's Intelligence Digest. And we were speaking earlier with Ali Arouzi in Tehran, the NBC's bureau chief there, and he said that the release of the of house arrest of Mousavi and Karoubi, the two reformist leaders that have been held in house arrest since 2011, will, of course, be a key indicator of the direction. And many of these those who voted for the new leader are looking at Rouhani to deliver on that. But the broader point, I guess, is about the IRGC and their apparent silence in this, and the fact that you suggested maybe the Supreme Leader told them to cool it. That, nevertheless, the real – I don't know whether you saw that op-ed, that article recently in the New York Times by the leader of the bus drivers union, or one of the leaders of the bus drivers union in Tehran, who has been tortured and his relatives have been brutalized and tortured and imprisoned by this regime and by the IRGC and that element in that lawless element, if you will, in Iranian society. How do you, expunge that element? I mean, the torturers and the jailers and the ones that murder their fellow citizens, if they see their power being taken away from them, they're likely to get more brutal. And after all, the IRGC gets a lot of – they control a lot of the oil sales, don't they?
Regrettably, you are right in all aspects. And the extensive torturing and intimidating that exists against the opposition or perceived opposition in Iran is pervasive. And I don't see any end to it at any time soon, especially by the involvement of Iran in Syria and Lebanon and all that. Excuse me. And that spurs a lot of growth in the type of people that was explained in the bus drivers union's leader. And Iran, unfortunately, is driven today. And many of the leaders in Iran today come from the war, from torture chambers. Look, the favorite candidate of of President Ahmadinejad, Mr. Mashayi, himself was a torturer, and his wife actually was one of his victims that relinquished her political religious creed and then fell in love with the torturer, and eventually they got married. So this is a very macabre and dark picture, and I don't think that Rouhani can do a whole lot about it, frankly. And the culture of torture and harassment is a part of this regime. But maybe in certain areas, like the continuous offense against women on the streets by the government, the continuous harassment of women because their cover of their hair is not complete, the harassment of young people for wearing T-shirts or whatever. Maybe he can do something about these things, but the as I said, the culture of torture, of harassment, and executions and lawlessness is so embedded in this regime that it needs a whole lot stronger man than Rouhani to sponge it off.
Well, you were saying earlier, Rasul Nafisi, that the U.S. Congress is hardline and heavily influenced by the Israel lobby. I mean, you didn't say that, but I'm saying that, and that's obvious. And the Israeli Prime Minister, of course, has basically treated this elevation of this new leader with a great deal of skepticism. Surely, though, even if the president reaches out and encourages dialogue, and if the P5+1 encourages dialogue, and if this new leader does what he did before, which is suspend enrichment in exchange for some kind of a deal, wouldn't the easing of sanctions by the rest of the world, short of the United States, make a great deal of difference? Because that was the question I had with Ali Arouzi, which is, how do you fix the Iranian economy without getting rid of the sanctions?
Absolutely. I mean, this is impossible. And unfortunately, the two messages of Ayatollah Khamenei before the election were both about resistance against the West and continuing with the present policy of enrichment. And I certainly hope that Rouhani can convince him, as I said before at the beginning of our talk, that there is a need for compromise and this and that. And then, assuming that he succeeds, I don't know how much U.S. Congress would get along. And then, assuming that even a U.S. government come along, and you mentioned Europe, and I understand that, of course, Europe would be very important in releasing sanctions on Iran and buying 60% of its oil from Iran and all that. I understand that's very, very important. But the final say actually rests here in Washington. And to me, if I could, I don't want to be pessimistic, but I really see this a very, very hard process, and I don't invest a lot of hope on quick solutions, and I just hope that in the first year, Rouhani can have a track record of saying, look, I did this, I did that. For example, one very simple thing that they can do is to go to the Supreme Leader and say, sir, now I am in place, I'm a moderate, I have a lot of votes, I am much better liked than Mousavi and others in the country. Why don't you release these guys? Let them go home. They are not important anymore. Let them go be with their families. And that would be a wonderful thing, and also show the sign of certain understanding between the government and the people.
Well, Rasul Nafisi, I'm afraid we've run out of time here, but I thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Rasul Nafisi, who is an academic and Middle East expert. His latest book is The Rise of the Pastoran, a monograph on the social, political, and economic roles of the Guardian. And his most recent book is The Culture of the Middle East. He contributes to Jane's Islamic Digest and Jane's Intelligence Digest. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with the English language spokesperson for the Syrian opposition about the Obama administration's change of direction in supplying arms to the rebels.